Thank you for joining us for this episode of This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. We're so glad that you could join us today. Let's open our hearts and prepare as the Word of God goes forth. God bless you as you listen. Praise God. We thank God for all of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together. We give you praise, Lord, for this opportunity to share the Word of God. And we trust that you will give us an utterance, Lord, that only you can give, and an unction from the Holy One. Thank you for the privilege of sharing the Word of God. You will help us as we impart life to every listener. Thank you for opening our hearts. Thank you for the impartation of life. We give you praise, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Would you open your Bibles or grab your devices and let's look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'd like to begin reading at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 14, I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. King James says, the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. What's standing out in this passage is what's coming out in verse 15, so as to create in himself one new man. One new man. Jesus was our peace, according to verse 14. He became our well-being. If you know what that word peace means, you know that the whole meaning of peace has everything to do with the well-being of the believer. Jesus has become our well-being. He is the one that makes sure we have everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, is what 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us. Verse 14 says that he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition. He made both one. The both there that he's referring to is Jew and Gentile. Jew, the covenant people of God, God's chosen people, and Gentile, those basically who weren't Jews. The Bible says that in Christ, he's made both one. This long-standing racial issue between Jews and all the other nations has been resolved in Christ. There's no more race issue. Now, we need to understand this, especially as Black people, because we just think our race is the chosen people of God. There's a false teaching that's going around now by the Black Hebrew Israelites. It's erroneous, brothers and sisters. Don't even pay attention to it. But they're claiming to be God's chosen people out of the scripture, and they use passages of scripture to draw people into their deception. And if you're not astute in the Word of God, if you don't understand how the Word of God unfolds to the children of God and how the Holy Spirit helps us to understand these truths, you can easily be deceived by these who come off as though they're carrying the truth. But notice, Jesus himself is our peace, and he has made both one, Jew and Gentile. Notice, the middle wall of partition has been broken down, and he abolished in his flesh the enmity between God and man has been dealt with severely, I might add. He has abolished in his flesh the enmity between man and God, which we know is sin. Sin is what separates us from God initially, and sin is still the separating factor in the life of God's people that throws up a wall between us and the Lord. Here, Paul is sharing that Jesus dealt with that issue on the cross. As these false teachers in Ephesus were trying to pull these believers into a false understanding of Christ, Paul is instructing them. What Jesus did on the cross dealt with the race issue. And brothers and sisters, I want to say it did. It dealt with the race issue. God is not about the hue of skin. God is about the heart of man, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God doesn't look at people as black and white and Mexican. No, God is looking at the heart of the person. Man looks on the outward appearance, but not God. God looks at the heart. So you can be black and wicked, white and evil, Hispanic and twisted. As far as God is concerned, you're still in darkness. So notice what Jesus did in verse 14. He's our peace, who has made both one. Only God could do this. And has broken down the middle wall of separation. That there was a separation between man and God. It's been resolved in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Amplified Bible puts it like this: for he himself, our peace, our bond of unity and harmony, he has made us both, Jew and Gentile, one body, and has broken down, destroyed, abolished the hostile dividing wall between us. Just want to stop here long enough to share with the body of Christ that Jesus Christ not only paid the price for our sins on the cross, but he dealt with the hostility between man and God. He dealt with the core issue in the heart of all men that carry that Adamic nature, that are born with it, that there's nothing you can do to extract that nature and come into Christ. But when you come into Christ, you need to understand that that issue between man and God, the hostility that's between man that carries the Adamic nature and a holy God that won't accept that life any longer. What's the resolve? Christ Jesus and what he did on the cross. He abolished the enmity in his flesh when he was beaten with the cat of nine tails and his flesh was stripped back. The Bible says in Isaiah 52 that he was so marred more than any man, that when you looked at Christ, you couldn't recognize that it was Jesus. They ripped his flesh off of him as they were beating him. And the word of God says that because that flesh had been dealt with in that manner, it abolished the enmity between us and God. That what Jesus endured in suffering was satisfactory to God for all of mankind. It satisfied the heart of God to see his son suffer the way he did. This is brought out clearly as a reference verse to this in Ephesians and Isaiah. Look with me in Isaiah 53. There's a reference to what Jesus was enduring and going through pleased the Father to allow it to happen. He abolished in his flesh the enmity between man and God. Isaiah 53, let me read a couple verses out of Isaiah 53 in reference to this. Verse 4 says, and this is all speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, if he did this for us, that means that we no longer have to. Our griefs we can give to God. Our sorrows we can give to God. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus was. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is speaking to the stripes that he received as he was being beaten. The stripes provided something for those who would be transitioned from Adam into Christ. There was a reason he paid the price for them, so that when we come into Christ, the issue of sin has been dealt with because he dealt with the enmity in his flesh. He took all of what was dished out so that the separation between man and God could be restored. The middle wall of partition was broken down because of what Jesus did on the cross. Notice, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. See that, brothers and sisters? This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. He took the sin problem in every one of us. And the Bible says, he nailed it to the cross. For the transgressions, he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10, Isaiah 53 and verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. The Father saw all that Jesus was enduring in the suffering, being marred more than any man, being stripped of his garments, being beaten to a pulp. It satisfied the Father. In the heart of the Father, what Jesus endured was for all of mankind, simply to come to him now and receive the forgiveness, receive that middle wall of partition, that separation that was there. It's resolved now. The Father is receiving us because of what Jesus did. He says, it pleased him to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and prolong his days. His soul, an offering for sin. Jesus said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down of my own accord. What was the purpose of laying his life down? It was an offering for sin. That every time we present our life to the Lord, it's an offering to the Lord. Similar to Cain and Abel, how they presented themselves to the Lord. And God saw what they had given, and he responded to them accordingly. He had respect for Abel and his offering. But for Cain, he had no respect, nor his offering. It was Cain that got rejected. It wasn't his gift. His gift was cursed ground. His mother and father had been driven out of the garden and now had to till the soil outside of the Garden of Eden, where they were initially functioning in their work of God. They were excommunicated out of that. Jesus Christ took the separation that sin brought in the garden, and he abolished it when Jesus was beaten and he died on the cross. That was all for each one of us. It silenced the sin issue in the heart of God once and for all. The Bible says he saw the travail of his soul. And the Bible says he prolonged his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. I just want to stop here long enough to remind us, brothers and sisters, that what Jesus did on the cross was sufficient for whatever it is we need done in our lives. Whether it's salvation, whether it's rest for the soul, whether it's provision for the life, or reward on the other side in eternity. All of this is possible because he took that enmity and bore it in his flesh. He dealt with the issue of sin within man's nature, the Adamic nature, Adam and the flesh. Jesus nailed it to the cross. God the Father saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. I want you to see, brothers and sisters, it says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. If you go back to the passage here in Ephesians, I want to read it in the Amplified Bible once again in our hearing as we prepare to close. That what Jesus did in abolishing, in verse 15, by abolishing in his own crucified flesh the enmity between God and man, the hostility between us and God, the conflict that all of mankind has had with God. He said, I will not always chide with man. My spirit shall not always be competing with this aspect of man's Adamic nature. So Jesus came once and for all, the very life of God, surrendered his life to that death and suffering on our behalf, and broke the power of sin over our lives now that we're in Christ. And he abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man. He's no longer taking sides with the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews still are waiting for their Messiah. They say it's not Jesus. But there is no other one that's coming to redeem them. Christ, John said, was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. John said, upon him who the Holy Spirit descends upon, he's the one, he's the greater one. My brother and sister, have you taken the time to recognize what was done for you on the cross? I wanted to just pause for a moment and remind us about the importance of the cross and what it did. It not only broke sin's power, but it restored access to the Father that had been broken down because of sin. He is our peace. He made both one. He broke down the middle wall of separation. Jesus did when he died on the cross. When he surrendered his life on the cross, he said, no man takes my life. I'm laying it down. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up again. If you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. I want you to see, brothers and sisters, that in his flesh, the enmity was dealt with. In his flesh. We can gain victory over our flesh because Jesus surrendered his. We see this. This is what dealt with the separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. All the legal laws, all the commandments contained in ordinances, Jesus. He dotted every I, he crossed every T, he fulfilled every aspect of the law so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. What's coming out of Jew and Gentile? One new man, the new creation. The new creation is what comes out of what Jesus did on the cross, so as to create in himself one new man. That new man is the new creation. Now, the Bible says that he might reconcile them both to God. That's Jew and Gentile. That's now the new creation. What is he doing? He's reconciling them both to God into one body. That's the body of Christ through the cross. Notice the source of what brought all of this into our reality, the cross. Brothers and sisters, this is why we who proclaim the truth of the gospel really only have one message, and that's the cross. Paul said, I only proclaim Christ and him crucified. I don't come with enticing words of man's wisdom because there's no power in that. I come in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. May the Lord open our eyes to see that the only power that we really have as new creation people is what Jesus did on the cross. Through the cross, he put to death the enmity. He reconciled us to God in one body through the cross. So now that 2 Corinthians 5 makes sense. That's 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look at it real quick as we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is just a quick reminder of the value of Calvary. 2 Corinthians. The value of the cross. Makes sense now. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm sure this is familiar, but verse 12 says, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance, but not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, and if we are of sound mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who should live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now, all things are of God. Listen, who has reconciled us to himself. What Jesus did on the cross was to bring us back to himself. He reconciled us to himself. He redeemed us to bring us back to himself. We drifted from God. God didn't drift from us. Sin separated us. God withdrew. For centuries, the Holy Spirit would come upon those that God was going to use. But that wasn't the methodology that God intended. So in Christ, we see a new manifestation of God in humanity. The way God operates in flesh, we saw in Jesus. It was with the life of God, with the nature of God. It wasn't contaminated by the human nature. That's why the Virgin Mary, the Holy Spirit conceived Christ in her womb. He said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The power of what he did on the cross was to reconcile us back to God. Notice he says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This goes back to this verse, brothers and sisters, in verse 15, where it says, "And he died for all, that those who live should henceforth no longer live for themselves." This is a passage where the new creation, before you come into that new creation, what you need to see, child of God, is that there's a henceforth when you stop living for yourself. Are you still living for yourself, my brother, my sister? Because that undermines the new creation. He says, henceforth, that we should no longer live unto ourselves, but unto who? Unto him who died and rose again for us. That's only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lay down our lives and we receive the life that he gave us, the victorious life, because it's part of him reconciling us and bringing us back to our rightful place in Christ Jesus now. That the issue of sin has been dealt with on the cross. Has it been dealt with in your life, my brother? Have you come to lay your life down and to surrender to what the Lord Jesus has done? It's an exchange. Your old life doesn't continue living in everything that God is doing now. No, you died. That old life has ended. Christ now is your life. Christ is the one that's living. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Are you aware of the new that you've stepped into, my brother, my sister? The new creation. You died with Christ. He dealt with that issue, that separation between us and man. He dealt with it on the cross. He nailed it to the cross. Now, he has brought about one new man, the new creation. This is the issue of focus for each child of God. There shouldn't be anything else that you're focused on other than the new creation, that new man in Christ That old you is gone, and Christ is now living. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not really me living. Who is it, Paul? It's Christ who's living in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I died. He lives now. Therefore, I don't frustrate the grace of God by trying to drag my old life into the new creation. No. That life has been evacuated, siphoned out, if you will. Christ is living now. So my brother, my sister, as we close in prayer today, please be aware of what happened to you on the cross. There was an exchange at the cross. The cross is important because it's the beginning where the new creation came forth. There's a henceforth needed for each one of us when we stop living and Christ now takes up residence. As we have gone through this series on Born of God, spiritual formation, it's important to know that the next phase in this life that God has given is the new creation. My brother, my sister, have you made a decision? We have to present ourselves to God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. It's your only reasonable action for what God is asking for from each one of us. Have you surrendered all to the Lord? Have you made the Lord Jesus Christ the center of your life? I want to stop here so we can pray today and ask the Lord to take up residence once again. Maybe we drifted. Maybe we got off somehow. Maybe we were falsely taught. Maybe we've never come into this understanding of we died and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's now Christ that's living, not me living for God. Christ is now living in and through me. So, Father, I want to pray for each person under the sound of my voice. I want to pray for those who have connected to this podcast, Lord, who you're speaking to. The members of Kingdom Life and maybe others, speak to our hearts, Lord, concerning this new life, this new creation. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's not the same old person patched up. He's not the same old person, just a fresh objective on life. No. Father, this person has laid his life down in a debt and has received the resurrection life in exchange for the presenting of his own old life. Christ is living in this person. And the middle wall of separation has been broken down. And now the fellowship with you, the Lord Jesus, has been restored because of what you did on the cross. Thank you. For you reconnected all of those who will come to you and believe. You reconnected us to the Father. You said, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by you. Lord Jesus, would you receive our life? We're coming to you. We're not coming to a pastor, a man. We're not coming to a building or a church. We're coming to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're coming to lay our life down, Lord. At the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now, happy all the day. At the cross, Lord, where there's room. There's room at the cross, my brother. There's room at the cross, my sister. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Father, I pray that they would make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ and receive this new nature given only by your Spirit. It's the nature of God. It's God manifested in the flesh. You've come to extract the old Adamic nature and to siphon it out and to deposit within us the very sperma of God, the life of God. We know about that life, Lord. We've read in the scripture about that life. That life cannot sin. It can't. So I'm thanking you for what you've done. And by faith, we receive all that you did on the cross for us. We just thank you, Lord, for handling the sin problem. The power of sin in our life has been broken. We can walk out of whatever issue we had. We can walk out of the prison. We're free, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed. No more bondages. No more separation. We can come close now to you, Lord, because of what you did on the cross. You broke the power of sin. You made an open show of the enemy and triumphed over him in the cross. Thank you for what you did, Lord. We receive it by faith. We thank you now that the cross is not only a protection, but the cross is proof that we have access to the very life of God now, that we can bear the image of the heavenly man, that we were born in the image of the earthly, but Lord, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Thank you for helping us understand this. Please continue in this vein, Lord, so that we can grow in our understanding of this new creation life. Thank you for helping us. We bless and thank you, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. We thank God for all of you that are listening. Man, that was a word from God. I thank God for all that he's been sharing with us. But unfortunately, we've run out of time for this week's episode. We ask that you all would prayerfully consider joining us on next week as the Lord leads us into another session of This Present Truth.